Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Kicking the week off here on WBEN. All right, I've got to start the show with just a plea. A plea to the people of Western New York and beyond. I am with you, right? I love football season. I love the holiday season, right? Nothing like watching snow fall when listening to a holiday song, okay? However, I'm not wishing my summer away. Can we just pump the brakes? The amount of posts I saw this morning or this weekend about I'm mentally already in pumpkin spice season. How about you don't? I mean, seriously. Like, I don't. Again, I'm big holiday guy, right? We'll probably have our tree up at some point in October. I'm big football guy, right? I've got college football, NFL. I mean, I'm glued to my TV or glued to my seat at the stadium all season long. However, right now, when people are on the lake, you got the sun out past 8 o'clock, you can walk out in the warmth. It's been beautiful. And we've got people wishing their summer away. I'll never understand that. You can love fall all you want, but to wish this type of weather away, you know, I can imagine that boaters feel the same way I do. Like people who are all about their boat in the summer, I guarantee you feel the same way I do. Like, we'll get to fall when we get to fall. Let's enjoy this season. Let's enjoy shorts and short sleeves and flip-flops and the water and all the beautiful things about summer. Baseball, all that great stuff. So, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying it does upset me when I see people cheering summer away. I'm not there. I'll be happy when football's here, but I'm happy right now. I'm loving the weather, and I'm loving being here with you. And I want to start on something that seemed like it was being talked about all weekend long, and that is the Colbert Show being canceled. Now, over the weekend, I watched a three-part series on the Leno Conan debacle. Do you remember this? In 2009-2010, Leno stepped down from The Tonight Show, and Conan took over, Conan O'Brien, who did Late Night after Letterman left for CBS. And Conan took over The Tonight Show, and Leno, NBC didn't want to let go of Leno and his contract, because then Leno could have gone to Fox or ABC, which, man, we would have all been saved from Jimmy Kimmel. So they kept him and they put him on at 10 in the evening, okay? Which just proved not to be profitable because at 10, people want to watch NCIS. They want to watch 2020, right? They're not in a Jay Leno mood. So Jay Leno was getting great guests, but not the ratings. Conan wasn't getting the guest and his ratings struggled. So 7 months later, Jay Leno's back on The Tonight Show. Letterman's making fun of the whole thing. It was really a fun time to be a late night TV person, as I was. I was watching, and I loved those monologues. Like back in the day, and I was saying this earlier, off the air. Back in the day, even if you didn't stay up for the interviews, which I rarely did, but you'd want to get, like with Letterman, you'd want to get to the top 10 list, right? The monologue in the top 10 list. For Leno, you want to get through the monologue if it's when he's doing dumb stuff in the paper or, you know, going out on the street. Like, you wanted to get up into the first guest. And then, you know, there's guests that you had to see, right? You had to see Norm MacDonald. You had to see Seinfeld. You know, the music. Maybe you were big on the music acting. You had to stay for the whole thing. But the monologues were always what you watched. And if you stayed up for Craig Ferguson, oh my gosh, you definitely had to stay up for Ferguson's monologue. And then Conan usually had not only a great monologue in the beginning of the show, but even if he had a guest you never heard of, right? If it was a nobody, he would make it funny, right? There was something about Conan's. I would always look forward to watching the guests on Conan because I knew he'd make it fun regardless if it's someone I didn't know. Craig Ferguson, I mean, the Late Late Show and Late Night were just as good as The Tonight Show and The Late Show with David Letterman back in the day. I mean, you had both networks really competing at an all time. And part of this thing that I watched on late night TV, also threw in Tom Snyder, that's before my time, but when he did The Tomorrow Show and what that meant to late night TV way back when in the day of Carson, Letterman, and all that. And, you watch some of these old shows, and you can find hours of old shows on YouTube. You can just search Letterman, and there's full shows there. And you listen to those monologues. And it's not just bashing one side or the other, right, when it comes to politics. And it's not all politics. I mean, I watched a Letterman monologue from, like, 2013. And he talked more about Paris Hilton in that monologue than President Obama or, you know, anyone in politics. But Letterman would also make the same type of jokes about Obama as he did Bush, as he did Romney. It wasn't, oh, I have to go specifically after this party. And that's why it was funny. Like, the jokes weren't to attack a political party. The jokes were to be funny. Colbert never did that. Like, when he took over, and believe me, I gave him a shot. You know, I'm one of these people, I love how media was in the late 90s until about 2010, right? Like, I've mentioned numerous times, I love Shock Jock Radio when it was still Shock Jock Radio, right? Howard, when Howard was Howard. O&A in the early days. Like, those shows I listen to all the time, and you can find old clips of those online, okay? So I wanted Colbert to continue what Letterman started, and I was willing to give him a chance. But from day one, it was clear this guy wanted to be a political pundit. He wanted to give he wanted to be the Steve Roberts of late night. That's not what CBS was paying him to do. Like, I don't know how Tim Kennedy and all these elected officials who tell us how smart they are all the time, how they don't pick up on that. Like, I get paid to give my opinion on current events, right? That is what me, David, Tom, that is what we are to do, right? We are to entertain with the day's topics. If I came in here and say, you know, obviously sometimes that is sports, right? So that's the Bills making the playoffs. That's the Sabres ending the drought. But if I came in here every day, even though I've been told not to do it, and I talked about Virginia Tech recruiting for five straight days, Odyssey's probably not putting me back on the air Monday because I'm not doing what I am paid to do. Stephen Colbert was paid to entertain. Stephen Colbert was paid to continue the show that Letterman had built. Instead, he made it C-SPAN After Dark. And again, I would talk about this nonstop. The guests he would bring on. People who watched Letterman, who watched Leno, who watched Carson, they don't want to see Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. Yeah, maybe every once in a while, right? Reagan was on The Tonight Show. I believe Obama was on Letterman once. Okay, that's once. It was becoming every night. That's not the show that CBS paid Stephen Colbert to do. And you know what? If what Colbert was doing, C-SPAN After Dark, started making money, he'd still be on the air. But they were losing $40 million. So I don't know how. And again, I think it's you're stuck in your echo chamber, right? And these politicians want you to be stuck in your echo chamber. So when you have Tim Kennedy saying things like, the cancellation of Stephen Colbert's show just days after speaking out of Paramount's $16 million settlement with Donald Trump raises serious questions. Was it a business decision or a political one? Americans deserve transparency, not corporate censorship. Well, number one, it doesn't matter what it was because CBS is a private, company. They can make what decisions they want to make. They're losing money. But for Tim Kennedy, I just think it's so insincere for Tim Kennedy and for all these politicians to say it. You want to be in your echo chamber and you want your followers to be in your echo chamber. That's why people like Mark Poloncarz freak out when people don't agree with them and they run away and they don't come and talk to the opposition, the other side. It's because they want you. Because they're in an echo chamber, and they want you to be in an echo chamber. And this is summed up beautifully by Kirsten Fleming over at the New York Post, who wrote an article, Shane Gillis's hilarious ESPY set was a litmus test for our uptight culture. And she is absolutely right. She points to when Gillis called out the four-time WNBA All-Star, but it turned out to be his friend's wife, and the audience, you could tell, didn't know what to laugh at themselves or not. But she says in this article, for the viewers at home, it was also a litmus test. If you're offended by the jokes about the WNBA or Trump, perhaps you're too entrenched in your chosen echo chamber. And that ties right in with the people who are upset over Colbert. The people who are upset over Colbert are the same people who will tell you Shane Gillis wasn't funny. And by the way, if you don't think that's funny, then I don't know what kind of comedy you're looking for. And if you're looking for the Colbert comedy, what, DC comedy? That's not real comedy. I mean, they point to Gutfeld and the show Gutfeld does. Number one, Gutfeld does the show on Fox News. I know CBS News is left of center, right? Obviously. But they still pretend that their programming is somewhat moderate. And again, that show was not attracting the viewers that CBS was looking for. Gutfeld is on Fox News. Yes, it does have a slant to the right. But I would also argue that they bring real comedians on. I will again point to one of my favorite comedians, Jim Norton. And if you look at Jim Norton's personal life, not sure he is what people would call a far-right conservative. But Gutfeld's show works. It's funny. It's what people want. Again, the Colbert show wasn't what people wanted. It's not what people were watching when they would watch Letterman. And unfortunately, I think too many people, I think most people, again, most people who would watch Letterman want a show that Letterman gave. Colbert's show was appealing to a left crowd who wasn't watching the show to begin with. They liked the clips online, and now they're outraged because a piece of their echo chamber is going away. And Colbert's show became an echo chamber. I mean, did Donald Trump go on that show since he's been president? When's the last time a conservative that wasn't, you know, a never Trump conservative on that show? It just became a political outlet. And I think by 11:35, as I've continued to say, people are burnt out and they want some comic relief. Well, the comic relief doesn't come from talking to people like Nancy Pelosi. And what really is the icing on the cake for all of these left of center politicians who are calling out CBS, when Keith Olbermann, who is definitely on the top five list of TDS, when Keith Olbermann says that this was clearly not a political decision because they're letting him on until May of next year, when you've lost Keith Olbermann, you might want to check your talking points. But it was a great reminder of what late night television used to be. And again, what I think would bring people back. Bring the Letterman style back. Obviously not someone copying them. Or as I said last week, Chris DeStefano did a great job filling in for Kimmel. It felt like old school late night TV. Put a real comedian on. Put Shane Gillis on after 11:35. You tell me people won't watch that? People on the political left, they controlled entertainment for so long. They think they're just going to be able to convince you that this is funny now. They're going to be able to convince you that this is what entertainment is. And, you know, for the last few months, it feels like people are finally pushing back and saying, no, this isn't funny. And like, comedy is supposed to be funny, right? Comedy is supposed to be, if you are in the public eye, there's probably going to be a joke about you, right? That is comedy. Like, yeah, you're going to get made fun of. And finally, just like in all aspects of life, it seems like people are finally pushing back and saying, why am I letting the left elites in Washington dictate what's entertainment and what's not? And I think this is the first domino to drop. And by the way, if I was wrong, if this show was making a ton of money, it would still be on. It wasn't funny. It wasn't making money. And CBS made a business decision to admit, not only is it not working, we think the brand is so damaged, we can't bring it back. And that's what they did. But let me tell you, the late night saga, I'll find the video and put it on my socials. The late night saga on YouTube really reminds you of how I remember late night TV. And even before that, like I said, it brings up Tom Snyder, who did the Tomorrow Show. And just what like TV used to be in late night TV and what the draw to late night TV was. Now, to be fair to Stephen Colbert, I mean, trends are changing, right? I mean, when these shows first came up, especially The Tonight Show, but The Late Show with Letterman in the 90s, everyone who watched TV had to put a number in to get a channel. How many people listening to me now don't have to put a number in to get a channel because you're on a streaming service? You just click to the logo of the station. So trends are changing. People are watching either stuff online. They're DVRing it. And this, I think, also played into that. I think Colbert is most to blame. He wasn't doing what they expected the show to be when Letterman stepped down. But to give him credit, or to give him, you know, some pass, trends are changing. However, as I say, trends are changing. People are still watching The Young and the Restless. So there's that. And it's gotten very suspenseful in the last week. Anyway, 803-0930, star 930. I'd love to know your thoughts on late night television and in comedy in general. I mean, has comedy suffered? I think it has. Comedy suffered because people feel uncomfortable laughing at funny jokes. I mean, I think we saw that at the ESPYs. And do you see this trend of, like, just comedy and everything kind of shifting back to, yeah, these leftist elites, you're not going to dictate what's funny and what's not. 803-0930, star 930. We'll talk about that. Also, get cash in your wallet. There's a bipartisan push in D.C. to get cash accepted at businesses again. And how can Democrats in Buffalo and Western New York blame anyone but themselves for the state of this region? All that and much more. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, welcome back. Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, just one final thing on this Colbert story. The drama... and the dramatics out there in the media and in Washington, people saying that this is bending, you know, this is all about Trump and making him out, you know, making this out to be that in Trump's America, you can't speak out against him. Do you realize how crazy you sound when you say that? I mean, really, MSNBC has made their identity to be anti-Trump. They're still on the air. ABC, CBS, NBC News nightly attacks the president and his administration. Still on the air. Jimmy Kimmel is still on the air. So you kind of sound dumb, in my opinion, if you're going to try to make that argument. And I just think this is one of those things that a majority of Americans see what this is. Even if you liked Colbert and you know how business works, you know how economics works, he wasn't working for CBS. It wasn't working out. So I think when you talk about this is Trump, waving his finger, getting his way, have you been present for the last 10 years? I mean, seriously. Have you been present for the last 10 years? That's all I want to know. 803-0930, star 930. If you want to comment on anything we are talking about today. Like I said, there's so much to get into. And especially after a weekend of stuff going on. I mean, you know, there used to be a time where when the weekend, nothing happened. And you would get out, you know, you'd get here on Monday and you would say, man, what is there to do? What is there to talk about? Nothing happened over the weekend. Everything was just, you know, people, business closed, people hanging with family. But now it's nonstop. And a year ago today was a Sunday. And I remember we got on the air and this was the big story a year ago today.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Scott at ABC headquarters here in New York. We are coming on the air at this hour with breaking news. President Biden has just announced that he is ending his reelection bid. Just moments ago, the president tweeted out, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek reelection, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. There are still so many questions yet to be decided and so little time before those questions need to be figured out. So I want to go right away to our chief Washington correspondent, John Carl. John, we are just 100 days out from the November election. Pressure was building on the president to step aside. Now he is announcing that he has.
Rachel, it's an extraordinary moment in American history. This is the first time we have seen a sitting president bow out of re-election since Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1968. And it comes, unlike Johnson's move, which happened in January of that year, it comes after he has already gone through a primary process, after he has already effectively won the Democratic nomination, which now raises the huge questions, as you allude to, of what happens next. In his letter announcing this extraordinary decision, he mentions his vice president, Kamala Harris. He says, "I want to thank my vice president, Kamala Harris, for her for being an extraordinary partner." But he makes no reference about what he will do in terms of an endorsement. Will he endorse? Will he not endorse? Will there be an open process? What happens next? He says he will talk to the nation in the coming days more about his decision. But now the Democrats have to figure out what happens. Who replaces Joe Biden as the Democratic candidate for president?
And we all know what happened. A few hours later, the suits at the Democratic Party told Biden that he has to throw his support behind Harris, and the rest is history. She runs for president, and she loses to Donald Trump in November, which Biden would have done if he stayed in. But do you remember, leading up to the re-election bid for Joe Biden, for 4 years, you had people saying there's no way Joe Biden will run for another term. Joe Biden is obviously suffering from some type of decline. And the journalists, and I'm not, when I say journalists, I'm not talking about Rachel Maddow. She's an opinion person, right? The View, they're opinion people. I'm talking about the journalists that pretend to give you straight news without bias. They told you, you were crazy for thinking that Joe Biden is in a state of decline. Even after the debate, there were still some, like Senator Chris Coons, who, again, not a journalist. He obviously has an opinion. But Senator Chris Coons going on all the Sunday shows, going on all the cable networks, saying that Joe Biden's fine. Remember, this is when the clips of, he's behind the scenes. He's doing handstands. He's smarter than everyone in the room. And it was at this moment you realized, if you are a thinking person, this is when you realized, oh my gosh, they have been lying to me. They have been covering up what's really going on in this White House. And a lot of them knowingly, right? Are we going to pretend that the people who were in the press corps when Joe Biden was reading questions, right, was reading the reporters off a sheet of paper that had their question and their picture printed? Are we going to pretend that the press corps didn't see that? We saw it in our living rooms from a camera, but people in the press corps didn't see it? And the problem is, again, this goes back to the echo chamber thing. There are still people, Democrats, who will never admit that Joe Biden was clearly not running things when he was in the White House. He did very little media appearances. And when he did media appearances, it was, you know, pre-planned. It was with like-minded people. It's kind of like the Kanye executive. And he would just hide himself from very little press, hide himself from the media. And again, they told you that everything's fine. These conspiracy theories on the right are ruining democracy. Says the party that didn't give their voters a fair chance to pick their candidate. Says the party who covered up for Joe Biden's decline for 4 years. And if you don't believe me, read one of any of the books that came out. Go back and watch the debate performance from last summer. And if you can watch that and read those books and still tell me that you think that man was in charge, was competent, then I would say that you are blinded by the talking points on the political left. And don't get me wrong, there are people guilty of that on the political right. I think too many people are blinded by the party they belong to. But I don't know, after all of this, a year after he has stepped down from the election, over a year from the debate, how you can still defend and still think that Joe Biden was 100% in control of what was going on in this country. A lot of the things that he is, you know, going to be known for was just trying to go against everything Trump did. I mean, he is going to be known for the guy that let 20 million some people in this country illegally. And there might be some other things, right? I mean, obviously that's all getting looked into. But that was a year ago today. I remember jumping on the air right after David Bellavia, talking to some great guests. And obviously it set the party back. And the media can do everything they want to try to convince you, you know, that there was no conspiracy. But I think more and more people are seeing what the reality was of those 4 years. So just wanted to remind you of what you were doing 1 year ago today. Now, there is, speaking of bipartisan, there is a bipartisan push in Washington to bring paper currency back to businesses. Senator John Fetterman, he's a Democrat, and Kevin Cramer, he's a Republican, have introduced a bill that would generally require those conducting in-person business to accept cash as payment form from customers. Now, any person engaged in business of selling or offering goods or services at retail to the public who accepts in-person payments at a physical location shall accept cash as a form of payment for sales made at such physical locations in the amount up to and including $500 per transaction. Now, there's a bunch of exemptions throughout this bill. But the idea that saying if you're going to have in-person business, which I think there should be, we should be flocking to, then you should accept cash. Now, I realize a lot of business owners are going to say, no, I don't want the government telling me what to do. And you know what? 99% of the time, I 100% agree with you. Like, I don't think the government should be involved in your business. I don't, you know, I think when the government gets involved, it's trouble for your business. However, I also think if you are going to sell goods, if someone walks in with cash, they shouldn't be turned away or forced to pay a fee for using cash. And if you don't know what I mean, there's places now that have these machines that you can put cash into and it will spit out a prepaid card. But a lot of those have, you know, a $2, $3 fee attached to them. I'll tell you, for me, it's I love my sports, as you know. I love my Bills. I've got my meeting in 2 weeks for the new stadium. Love the Sabres, love the Bisons, you know, love everything locally, the Bandits. But it's annoying when I have to pay cash to park my car, but the change from that parking I can't take into the stadium and buy anything with. You know, in 30 years, we've gone from places slowly accepting plastic money to now only plastic money. And I would guess in 20 years from now, if I'm so lucky to still have a radio show on this very station, we'll be talking about places no longer taking plastic money and only taking Apple Cash or Samsung Cash or, you know, whatever, Google Cash, whatever you have on your phone, and nothing physical being accepted. But in 2025, I still think enough people out there want to use cash where this would generally have an over 50% approval rating from the Americans. From the Americans. Yes, us. This push away from cash, again, it's convenience. If you don't carry cash, well, no one should make you carry cash. I believe this both ways. Like, no one should force you to carry cash. However, if you have cash on you, do you realize how annoying it is when you walk into a place and say, yeah, I'm sorry, we can't take that? I don't know if you watch Dave Portnoy when he does the pizza reviews. He always says the places that only accept cash are cash only are the best pizza places in New York. But it's confusing because you'll have cash only at places. You know, there was a very fine bar downtown that took cash only. And then you'll have places that take card only. I generally agree with this legislation to bring cash back, to allow businesses, you know, to allow people to spend money the way they want to carry it. Like, I completely understand why a business might not want to pay to accept credit cards. I get that. I also understand why people might not want credit cards or debit cards on them. You know, I mean, the number of people I know who have had a break into their bank account, right? Someone's hacked their account. Now, do you realize if your bank account's hacked, most of the time, you are going to have a freeze on that account. And while you have a freeze on that account, you can't use the funds from that account. Now, there's also people who don't want to get a credit card. Right? I speak from experience. Why wouldn't you want a credit card? Because you know you don't trust yourself. And what the one better thing, or something that's as good as self-control, is knowing situations where you have none and not putting yourself in those situations. And there are people who know they can't control themselves with a credit limit, so why ever get one? So you're going to tell those people that if their account's hacked into, I know this is a very rare instance, but you understand what I'm going with this. So if you don't have access to your bank account, then you can't buy anything at certain places? So like I said, I'm not all for the government getting into your business or telling business owners what to do. But I do think there is something to, if you're going to have walk-in business, which I think you should, then you should accept cash. I think that is very common sense. How do you feel? Mark in West Seneca. Mark, what do you think about this legislation?
I think it's a good idea. I don't think you've brought this up, but what about the people that can't get credit cards? You know?
Exactly.
I've had friends go to the arena with me or that, and they don't have a credit card, and I end up buying their stuff because nobody will take cash.
Oh, man. So not only does it suck for them, now it really sucks for you because you have to now follow them around and try to get the cash from them.
But, yeah, I don't understand that, you know, and yet they're supposed to be, they care about the fans, but what about the fans that don't have credit cards?
Yeah, so. And like I said, Mark, not only that can't get it, there's people also who, you know, they realize their lack of self-control. It's like when you walk into a casino. I would never bring plastic with me into a casino because that just spells trouble. There are people who are not going to leave the house with plastic because, again, there is something different than swiping that card and actually counting out the money that you're spending. And for those people, their options of what they can do with that cash is getting limited and limited.
Yep, you're right.
Now, good point, Mark. Appreciate you. And make sure you get that money from your friends. And there's another That's another topic for another day. How do you pay people back? Do you use things like Venmo, Zelle, or do you still go get cash and give them cash? Like I said, that's something for another day. I'm just saying, if I owned a business, I would 100% accept cash, right? And I would take everything. But I still think there is a good number of people who have a certain amount of cash on them at any given time, right? For emergency purposes, or again, maybe they want to control their spending. This goes back to that self-control thing. And I'm speaking from experience. It is easier to control your spending when you see physically what you're spending. And if you don't have self-control, it's good to know how to not put yourself in that kind of situation. And cash is cash. Those numbers in your bank account, that is cash. So why not spend it? That's probably not a good slogan, by the way. 803-0930, star 930. What do you think about this? Also, I love bipartisan anything. I like when two parties can come along. Even if I disagree with it, I like to see the two sides at least talking. And by the way, speaking of talking, my Wednesday segment is starting this week. We will have an elected Democrat on this show Wednesday at 1. It is confirmed. It's in the book. It's in ink. They will be live in studio, and we'll tell you who it is tomorrow. But yes, an elected Democrat will be on this Wednesday. We are starting the segment. I wanted to start last week. We're starting it, and hopefully it'll be a long-standing segment on this show. So if you have a question that I should ask the elected Democrat in my elected Democrat segment weekly, Wednesdays at 1, you can always email me those questions, joe.beamer@wben.com, and we'll try to get all those questions into the segment. 803-0930, star 930. We'll take your calls on cash when we come back. Also, Democrats in Buffalo, how can they blame anyone else but themselves for the state of the region? And what is a concert performance that really surprised you? I'll explain after this on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, congratulations to a winner in Western New York who, after this weekend, is $27,000 richer. That's right. Now, you know, I used to be a lottery guy, and I feel like I was never getting the right ticket, right? I like to do the scratch-offs. I would get a take five every now and then. But someone in Olean won $27,000 on a take five ticket. What would you do? I mean, after taxes, what's that? Maybe $20,000, $22,000? What would you do with that money? What would you do with an extra $20,000? I feel like for me at this point in my life, I'm like that would take care of debts. That would maybe finish paying off my car. Like, I would just put myself in a good position. You know, it used to be like, oh, I buy this, this, and this. Now it's like, well, how about I just eliminate my debts? And then when I start, you know, my next paycheck will kind of be like a winning. You know what I'm saying? But congratulations to if you're listening there in Olean, to the $27,000 winner on Take 5. So, you know, the big mayoral election is in November, and James Gardner, he's getting out there, he's getting vocal, taking on Senator Sean Ryan. Obviously, Sean Ryan's the favorite right now, but this avoiding the media that Sean Ryan is doing, I mean, he is playing the Mark Poloncarz, I'm too good for the media type thing right now. And, I mean, he issued a statement to Channel 7. You heard David play that earlier in his show when it comes to his stance on bail reform. And, you know, votes are public. So you can go online and see. I mean, Sean Ryan, anytime there is legislation for lessening a penalty on criminal offenses and giving more to the criminal, Sean Ryan is yes, 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 right down the line. So when bail reform is blamed for crime in Buffalo, including a murder last week of a man who was arrested multiple times after being released from prison, then yet, Sean Ryan, it is fair criticism. And a statement, a paragraph statement to Channel 7 is not going to change that. And I know Sean Ryan is going to, he's the Mark Poloncarz of state Senate, and he wants to be the Mark Poloncarz of the city of Buffalo. It might work with registration as it is, but you have a lot of Scanlon voters that are not going to fill in the Sean Ryan bubble in the election box. And you're going to have voters come out, I feel, just to vote against Sean Ryan. Now, what does that mean for James Gardner? We'll see. Like I said, he's being very vocal. He's getting out there. That's a start. But you can say all you want to say. You own the bail reform and the failures of the bail reform. And if you are mayor, it's going to be difficult for you to run away from that. It's going to be difficult for you to run away from a lot of things. Now, you know, again, you look at Jeremy Zellner, you look at Mark Poloncarz and the Erie County Democrats, everything that's wrong in your life, according to them, is Donald Trump's fault. That is a really tough talking point to sell when you have been in power, especially in the city of Buffalo, for double my lifetime. And in Erie County, you've been in power since I was in college. So it's really interesting, again, for the county executive to go out there and talk about the issues with Buffalo and how Sean Ryan's the right guy to turn it around. Aren't you part to blame for the issues in the city of Buffalo? It's the biggest city in your county, which you've been in charge for since I was a senior in college. Do you know how much has happened in my life since I graduated college? You're still in the same position, taking credit for things that you had nothing to do with and passing the blame on in a very national scene at times to people who aren't you. But Buffalo is facing a fiscal crisis, projected at $70 million in structural deficit. They're also going to have a mid-year budget shortfall of $17 million. And Sean Ryan is out there saying that he, a Democrat, is who's going to turn things around. Again, he who supported the bail reform and with property crime up in Buffalo and people feeling unsafe to go to some of the destinations in the city because of recent crime, how is Sean Ryan going to turn it around? And how do Democrats continue to run on, we're the party that will save you, when since 1965, they have not been able to save the city of Buffalo? It's to me, it's just such a tough sell. And I know that's the sell they're going to be making. But when you look especially at the economic stats in the city of Buffalo. Now, again, they're going to try to say, well, this is all Trump. But the governor's a Democrat, has been a Democrat. The county executive is a Democrat, has been a Democrat. The council is Democrat. The mayor has been Democrat. So how is this MAGA Trump's fault? You've got a median household income among the lowest in large U.S. cities. You have got a city services crisis that will lead to increased property taxes. Again, $70 million deficit, $17 million just in this mid-year budget. It's a mess. The city of Buffalo is a mess. You've got lead in the pipes.
You've got people that, I mean, are moving out in high numbers of Western New York. Yet everything is Trump's fault. Now, again, you've got the registrations. You've got the people who are going to go vote and fill in whoever the Democrat is. And my question to those voters is, why is this Democrat different? Because you're going to have people who are going to, you know, say, who will say the same thing if J.D. Vance runs in 28. They're going to connect him, obviously, as the vice president, to Trump. And that's fair. So why would it work in 28, but it doesn't work in the city of Buffalo election? I just don't get it. Try some, even the state of New York, in the time that the city of Buffalo has had Democrats as mayor, even New York State went Republican for a few terms with George Pataki. So it is kind of an unreal streak that Democrats in Buffalo have. But it also puts you in a position that with numbers this bad and the Republicans actually running someone, don't you just try a different mindset for 4 years? It can't get much worse than it is in the city of Buffalo right now. Less people in your economic center. You've got projects on hold all over the city. And you've got people that are really struggling. You've got property crime up. People are stealing cars. People don't feel safe to go downtown. It is a mess in the city of Buffalo, which, by the way, again, has been run 100 predominantly by Democrats. The city council, Democrats. And again, I have a lot of friends on the city council. They know how I feel. And I think some of them are pretty reasonable and smart. But it's tough to make a sell for the party that has driven Buffalo to where it is to say that the guy who is responsible for one of the latest budgets in state history and responsible for the bail reform, which is the reason people don't feel safe going downtown. All I'm saying that just open your eyes before you go to the ballot box and ask yourself, how much worse could it get? Like, say James Gardner wins. He still has a Democrat council. But he brings some new ideas to City Hall. I don't understand that thinking. And this is coming from someone who, yes, at times has voted for Democrats. Not in the very recent past. Because it has gotten so divisive. But let me tell you, if where I lived, right, let's say Clarence Center all of a sudden just started seeing one of the worst stretches in the history of the suburbs. Well, you know what? Maybe I don't put the same party back in power. I don't see that happening because look in Clarence. Trader Joe's is going to probably be up and open before the first pillar is set for Costco. So I don't see that being an issue in Clarence. I mean, Trader Joe's rather be part of the Clarence side of transit than deal with the tons of space on the Amherst side. So I feel pretty confident in saying that things are going well in Clarence. But if you continuously had one party just dragging the town down, I think eventually you go, hey, let's give the other party a try. Let's go to Dan in Tonawanda. Dan, what do you think of the Buffalo situation heading into this election?
Hey, Joe, just real quick, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention something about the cash.
Of course.
Well, the thing with the cash thing is I think you missed the biggest point of cash. Cash is freedom. If you have cash, you're able to pay the kid that's cutting your lawn. You're able to buy what you want without the government knowing what you're buying or not buying. And then you think of it this way. Remember the Canadian truckers when they locked up their bank accounts because they were protesting the COVID lockdown? Well, that could happen here in America. They could shut your account off in a lickety split. Cash is king other than gold. Gold is better. But Cash is a free society. If you have cash, you have a free society. That was the reason why a lot of the government officials wanted a card, because they could control everything and see everything that you do. It's all about control. So that's why young people should learn that cash is king, and we should all fight for the stores. Instead of having two machines that use cash, they should all have cash. You should be able to use them at every aisle. And cash is king. Remember that. It's all about control. You take cash away, they have total control of the masses.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if you have cash in your pocket, you should be able to walk into a store and buy whatever is worth that cash.
And let me move on to Buffalo.
Yes, for sure.
Now, I know I've been talking about Niagara Falls a lot, but Niagara Falls is very important. When you go to Niagara Falls, you see cars from every state in the union, and Canadian cars there too sometimes, even though the Canadian side's a little nicer. But it, people come around the world. If you go down there and sit there and enjoy, because it's a beautiful park, you see people from all over the world. They're going to Niagara Falls because of the falls, and they're coming around the world. We need to get Niagara Falls crime under control. I heard this weekend you had the assemblyman on, and he said that the first thing they do is fix up the housing. No, he's wrong. The first thing you need to do is get the crime under control. You get the crime under control because people ain't willing to fix up a house while you're trying to bring a sink in there, or, you know, your cabinets, and people are stealing them out the back door. That's what happens in Niagara Falls. And before, if you want Buffalo to work, you need Niagara Falls to work. People, like I said, people around the world come to Niagara Falls. We need to play off Niagara Falls and Buffalo. They're so close to each other. If we can get Niagara Falls back on track, bring Buffalo with it, you'll have a huge economic boom in West New York. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a huge economic boom in Niagara Falls as we speak. There's plenty of land there to do plenty of things, and I'm disappointed. Our government is embarrassing, but people around the world come to think of that. They don't come to Buffalo from different countries. They go to Niagara Falls. We need to play Niagara Falls along with Buffalo. And yes, Buffalo is sliding backwards. We got to get the crime under control before it gets worse, because you'll just have less people going downtown Buffalo. We need both to work. Doesn't work without the other, in my opinion.
No, I mean, Western New York, when Western New York was, you know, the best of the best, it's because you had two thriving areas. You had a thriving tourist destination, and you had a thriving Buffalo. And we are so far removed from that, Dan, it's going to take at least a decade to repair.
Absolutely. But, you know, just remember this. These politicians that have been there for 50 years, they all talk the talk, walk the walk. They get all these contracts, and half the money goes to their friends or family. It's all patronized jobs. It's all kickbacks. That's all they care about, is getting rich. And then as soon as they're done working in the government at New York State or wherever they are, they're off to Florida or wherever else. It's sickening. It really is. It's sickening that all these guys retire. They work 30 years, 20, 30 years, and they retire and they take all their money elsewhere. And, yep. You know, we need people to stay here and fix this community. Otherwise, we're going to lose all of New York State.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, it's got to be turned around quick, or, you know, I think even some of the most devoted people to the area will start leaving. You know what I mean? You've got the people who I'll never leave. I don't know. If it keeps going down this path, you'll have even those people starting to say, I got to do what's best for my family. And I don't want to get to that point. Like I said, I love Western New York. But
years ago, I wanted to move, but I stayed here for my mother. You know, I wanted to make sure she was okay, so I took care of her. And, you know, I hate to say it, I wish I would have left. And now I'm stuck, kind of, because I'm at a certain age and I got grandkids. I don't want to leave my grandkids. I take right. care of them. They live with me, you know?
No, Dan, I hear you. I want
get
this.
When you can, Joe. Get the hell out of here when you can.
Well, I got a good job now, Dan. I've been working 15 years for this. I'm not leaving now.
You're doing good. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Dan and Tonawanda. Yeah, you know, as much as I've always said this, as much as I am fed up with politics in New York State, especially in Erie County, I love this area. And I got the job I've been waiting 15 years for. I can't leave now. Now, if tomorrow Odyssey says, hey, we're giving you the Colbert, yeah, okay. I'm telling my wife, hey, we got to pack things up. We're getting the heck out of here. But, you know, I want it to work. That's why I'm doing the Wednesday segment. That's why we're going to have an elected Democrat on every Wednesday starting this week. It is actually happening. It's because I want it to work. And I want someone, I don't care what party you're from. I just find it hard to believe that the Democrats, who have been the party in power, are going to be the party to turn it around. Now, there are some Democrats that I would put my support behind because I think they're reasonable people. One of those people will be joining me on Wednesday. Sean Ryan is not one of those people. He is not reasonable. He is close to Mandami in New York. His attitude is that of Mark Poloncarz, the I'm better than you, you don't deserve my time. Someone with that mindset, someone like that, is not the person who's going to turn any town around. 803-0930, star 930. It is Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
There's times I've wasted money, cause I know that I can always make more cash. But wasted time is something, man, when it's gone, you can't get it back.
You know what? This is funny. So I'll go. This song has been on my mind all weekend. I did not tell Tanner to play that, and he played it as a bump. I didn't mention it to him. Tanner walked in at 2. We haven't said much to each other. Nothing against Tanner. I've just been vibing in here. And something about our mental wavelengths, he played the exact song at the exact point that I wanted him to. Tanner, how did you know?
Ask Tom about that when he comes on for Crosstalk. I've done that to him more times than I can count on both my hands at this point. I'm like that.
That is absolutely amazing. I am stunned. I am stunned. We didn't talk music. I was like, oh, I wonder what Tanner's going to come back with. And then there it is, Dirk Bentley, the lyricist. Dirk Bentley, with one of my favorite songs. And it reminds me of a time I went to go see him at a show when that album first came out. He opened with that song. And he played until like 1 in the morning. And I'm not even exaggerating. He kept on coming out for encores. At one point, he was throwing Bud Lights into the crowd. I mean, it was an amazing show. By the way, I'll be seeing him August 14th at Darien Lake. Can't wait for that one. It was an amazing show. But I always think, when I think of that show, I think of that song because he came out playing that song. And it's one of my favorite non-released Dierks Bentley songs. So points for Tanner. I got to take you out to lunch for that one. That was amazing. That was an amazing, I'm honestly just in amazement. That you picked the song that was on my mind. 803-0930, star 930. My question to you is, how can you keep on voting in Democrats in the city of Buffalo when for 60 years nothing has changed? It is a downward trend. And like I said to Dan before the break, I love Western New York, right? And my wife and I had talked about, you know, if we decided not to go down the kids route, we would have probably lived somewhere downtown. Like, that would have been awesome. I love Buffalo. I love Western New York. I only want what's good. And I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat who does it. But how do you not look at, maybe this guy has some good ideas. Let's give him 4 years. When, I mean, the trends are down. Beside the Buffalo Bills, who don't play in Buffalo, and I blame the council on that, how do you not just try the other side? 803-0930, star 930. Kyle is in Amherst, but works in Buffalo. Kyle, how do you view all this?
Well, I mean, if you can go back to when we used to manufacture stuff in the north, you know, I mean, most of your cities in the north, Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, all, you know, all along the lines there, they all experience the same problem. Ohio, you know, they don't have a lot of opportunity. That's why the folks get educated and leave, because the economies suck, really, you know. In this area, you got to have a skill to really make it. You know, if you don't have a skill, I mean, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. I don't say you got to go to college to get a skill, but you got to get a skill. And the gentleman who talked about Niagara Falls, he says policing and crime, but poverty goes hand in hand. You can't do anything with crime until you clean up poverty. You know, if you look at the numbers, I believe most of your northern cities are in like the top 10 cities for poverty. And then you go down south and the poverty rates are lower. There's more economic opportunity. Taxes are lower. These places like the Midwest and the South, you know, are corporate friendly. So the tax encourages corporations to move there, where no one in their right mind is going to move to New York State with the tax rate that we got. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, it sucks. I don't really particularly see a difference in Democrat, Republican until someone has a master plan of getting mass companies and jobs, you know?
But, you know, regardless of party, like, Kyle, we know that, right? And I think so many people see that. I mean, you look at how Cleveland in Ohio, I mean, put in the same position as than Buffalo, and they're doing better than Buffalo. Pittsburgh's doing better than Buffalo. Why is it the people who make decisions can't do what's right and try to incentivize those economic opportunities to come and help cities like Buffalo, cities like Niagara Falls, like Rochester?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because those people were smart enough to develop their downtown where we weren't, you know, over the last. I mean, we talked about this maybe a month or so ago, how there were so many broken promises of all these different companies that were supposed to come downtown to, you know, I mean, if you look at most major cities, at least the prosperous ones, you can't afford to live in the city. You have to live outside. You know, here's a little bit opposite. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, Cleveland still has a high poverty rate. I mean, they have a nice downtown and stuff like, I mean, even to Detroit. You go to Detroit, the city is nice, but you don't want to live 10 minutes outside. You know, I mean, it's like a disaster zone. And that's part of the problem. And you also have generational poverty. You know, it's not like the person just became poor and you know, you're talking about generations of people who've been left behind, per se. You know, now what reasons that is, you know, that's a whole different topic, but you can't do anything until, you know, you got a skill, and then you get a skill, and then you can, you know, make a better life for yourself. But I hate to say it, man. You know, they built their whole dreams on Bass Pro to come, like, early 2000.
Yeah.
And so many companies or businesses were expecting the downtown life to, you know, start jumping because of Bass Pro. And unfortunately, it didn't work out, and there was no alternate plan. You know, then they moved the stadium out to Orchard Park, which, you know, I guess if you can go back 40, 50 years ago, they shouldn't have done that. And even this last time around, you know, I heard so many different excuses of why they couldn't be in Buffalo. But, you know, most of your major cities, their sports are in their downtown area. Yeah, you know, and then
look at Detroit. You mentioned Detroit. I mean, their football field is across from the baseball field. They just put the brand new arena out. I mean, their economic center is downtown, and the sports teams help that thrive.
And they have a dome, which encourages year-round activity to help with that downtown life atmosphere. You know, people are against the dome here in Buffalo. Etra Park, I can understand, but if you had it downtown with the dome, you got a year-round facility, you make some type of entertainment, you know, corridor based on the sporting, you know, you got the Bisons, you got the casino, you got all these different things, and that encourages businesses to open up. And then, you know, obviously policing matters with crime, but, you know, I mean, that's just something that we just can't figure out. Apparently, you know.
Kyle, you bring up generational poverty and you know, people that, you know, they can move down south or out Midwest. They have a skill. You're in the education. Do you see it? Have we hit the point? You know, my dad's from a small town, and he said the people who could get out did get out. But, you know, I mean, in town, you've got kids that dropped out of high school for whatever reason. Is Buffalo slowly becoming that, to where the kids that they graduate, they go to college and they stay out of Buffalo? And, you know, the ones that stay here are the ones that sink back into poverty and maybe, you know, dropped out of school. Have we gotten to that point in the city of Buffalo?
We've been at that point for at least 10, 15 plus years. I could tell you in the 90s, there was a mass exit, at least in the black community, those who could get out. You know, they're all, I mean, most, 99.9% of my family were all born and raised in Buffalo. Now they live out in the Carolinas, Maryland, Georgia. And they're all, I mean, they're all doing pretty well. Their kids, their grandkids, you know, I saw a lot of people who just couldn't get out. And unfortunately, those were the ones who partially are part of that generational poverty, stuck in that same mindset. You know, how do you tackle that? That's been the master idea for decades. You know, you talk about poor money education and stuff like that, but that's not really the key. You know, there's something psychological about things that you have to combat first to encourage people to want to do better for themselves. You know, obviously you always say the parents matter, but in some cases the parents have experienced the same trauma poverty-wise, and it just continues to flow. North Carolina, for example, and I don't know if it's changed recently, but up until about at least 5-6 years ago, you had to have been a resident for at least 2 years to get any type of governmental aid or support. New York State is 30 days. You know, you almost encourage people to come in and just start loafing off the till. Now, if you got 2 years, you can't collect the first year or two, you know, until you become a fully established resident. And then, you know, most people, because the economy is a little bit better, you know, they can get those jobs because there's a lot more businesses there. You know, I mean, I'm talking about just regular car dealerships. I mean, anything, factories. You know, you got people who got the CDL license who are driving trucks all over the South because, you know, there's more more supply and demand and people. Here we keep losing people. Buffalo had like 500,000. Now we're down to like 260,000 people. So, you know, there's just that type of, you know, I guarantee if you talk to some parents, they probably encourage their kids to get out because there's more opportunity, you know, and it's sad because you
No, I mean, you know, I always say, Kyle, I want what's best for Buffalo, but you got, I mean, and like you said, I mean, you've listed a few things off there, and it's really what the focus needs to be on is keeping who you have here and making sure they have opportunities to thrive and raise their families here. You got to somehow turn that train around, and it just unfortunately doesn't seem to be happening in the current state.
No, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, Niagara Falls. I mean, you go across the border, it's like day and night, you know. It's sad because, you know, you want to keep the tax dollars here, or at least the tourist attraction money here, but, you know, you only got a few blocks of Niagara Falls, and then, you know, there's parts you really don't want to drift off to, really. You know, you go across the border, it's like Wonderland. And you think to myself, like, well, how come we couldn't have that? Buffalo, you know, I mean, Niagara Falls, we should have had that like a long time ago. But, yeah, man, I'm scratching my head, too, about difference between Republicans and Democrats. Well, Byron Brown was more Republican anyways. You know, I mean, he was kind of a hidden. I mean, remember, he won the last election because the Republicans came out to support him because of the lady who.
India Walton.
Was more. Yeah, exactly. You know.
But, I mean, the thing is, Sean Ryan is India Walton. I mean, if you look at the things he's voted on in Albany, you know, that's why I'm surprised Scanlon pulled out, because I think he would have, and he was already on the ballot. He wouldn't have even had to had people write his name. He was already there. I thought we were going to have a really similar situation to what we had 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I actually was surprised about Scanlon. I thought he was going to, you know, just breeze to the primary and you know, be on the ballot. But, I was a little shocked on that one. Maybe he didn't get his message out. You know, Sean Ryan always seems to go into certain communities and dangle the carrot. You know, that's how it works too, you know.
Well, it also doesn't help that Scanlon had the same campaign manager as Byron Brown did when he lost to India Walton. That might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't help either.
Hey, Kyle, always great talking with you, man. Have a good one.
You too.
That is Kyle in Amherst. I mean, all right on the money on all of that. And like I said, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat who turns it around, but it's got to be fresh thinking. And I'm sorry to think that the guy who's been in Albany for 12 years, who's been part of the latest budget, who's been part of the bail reform, I'm sorry, I don't think that he's the guy who's going to turn it around. You know, and if I'm living in the city of Buffalo, I go, well, yeah, James Gardner, I don't know him. He's a Republican, but man, maybe just some fresh thought. Sean Ryan's not fresh thought. He's been in the club in Albany for 12 years. Tom Bowerly, he has a show up next. And Tom, I discovered Tanner's great skill just a few minutes ago.
Oh, really? He seems to have lost that with me. You know, sorry, Tanner, but what his great skill doing what, I might add?
So I'm sitting here, and we didn't really talk once he got in, because I was kind of vibing and getting stuff set. And I had a song that I'd been thinking about all weekend. And wouldn't you know, hand to God, he played that song coming back. We had no communication about it. I'd never talked about this song with him, and he played it coming back to the point that I wanted.
Yeah, Tanner is frighteningly psychic when it comes to reading the minds of the host. So apparently some of that is transferred onto you by virtue of working with Tanner. So just beware. He's in your head. He's reading your thoughts. If there's any flies on him, they're paying rent.
I know. I got to be careful what I'm thinking about while I'm in here. Tom, how was your weekend and what's coming up next?
Well, it's always a glorious weekend in my world, but coming up, you know, the Amanda Thompson murder is still very, very upsetting to me. And on Friday, I kind of had an idea when I was on the air. Hold my beer. I have an idea, but this is serious. That I think what we need in New York State, so Sean Ryan is saying, well, the release of the suspect had nothing to do with bail reform. It's interesting because not only the Republican who's running for mayor, but also people with the domestic violence shelters in the area have said it was a bail reform issue. So not quite sure what their agenda might be. But I came up with something called Amanda's Law. And it goes something like this. And this might actually already be reality to some degree, but I'd like to make it mandatory. If somebody has an order of protection against them, all right, and they violate the court order, and they are in contempt of court, and they have been extremely violent on the issue which got them the order of protection, and they go back to the same person or a family member of that person or suborn somebody to do it, then I think they need to be locked up until the date of trial. Now, this would be entirely, as I understand the law, even with the Constitution and due process and everything, as I understand the law, this would be entirely possible in situations of either a flight risk or a danger to public safety. I would take the discretion out of judges' hands and make it a mandatory thing. If this had been mandatory, Amanda might very well be alive today.
Exact, Tom, 100%. I mean, you've got people out there that won't even file the order of protection because it lets the person know that you've put them on their radar and they're not going to get held, they're not going to jail, they'll be released. What good is it? It actually might put you in more danger, as we saw with Amanda.
Yeah, I don't like this entire thing. I think it's rotten. I think it's lousy. A woman lost her life, a family lost, a beautiful lady. And I think that, you know, I would like somebody to say, hey, this idiot on the radio was talking about what he calls Amanda's Law. And he'd like to see absolutely no bail in situations like the Amanda Thompson case. Sean Ryan, would you like to go on favor for this or against this? You know, let's just remove all the clutter, all the static, all the interference, and just present it to him as an issue. Would you support this law? Yes or no? If yes, why? If no, why not?
I mean, there's just no reason that this woman is dead, and it's a complete failure of, I think, people like Sean Ryan and the legislation that they passed in Albany. Good luck to get him to actually verbally say something, Tom. It seems like now he's just issuing one-paragraph statements to the local stations.
Well, the best thing to do would be have Garner bring it up in one of his press conferences. That way Sean Ryan can say, well, this is just a political stunt. It has no basis in reality whatsoever. Also, Joe, I'd like to get into the infamous Indian names, Native American names for sports teams, because President Trump made an appeal over the weekend. And if we have time, I'd like to get a little bit into the Trump lawsuit against Mr. Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal. You know, AI analyzed the so-called letter that Donald Trump wrote and drew and basically said, yeah, this is way too poetic for Donald Trump. This looks like a bad romance. Well, they didn't say bad romance. I just heard Lady Gaga yesterday, so I'm saying it.
Well, Tom, all great stuff. Can't wait to hear that in just a few minutes. Tom Bowerly coming up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for the calls, the text, and stay tuned. Tom Bowerly is with you after Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.